Labor Day weekend, had a big parade yesterday. It was warm, but I hear you had a great turnout.
It was a phenomenal turnout. I talked to some of the organizers afterwards, and they said there were 2,300 entrants in the parade. So marchers primarily, but you know, there were some floats and other vehicles, but you know, 2,300 people in the parade, and I would estimate at least 4,000 people were watching the parade. I mean, they were standing four and five deep along the whole parade route. It was really, considering the weather, it was an unbelievable turnout and just a really a great day to celebrate, you know, Labor Day.
Well, and now with the students back and school in full force in downtown Terre Haute, of course, a new building that just opened for student housing, has there been enough time to kind of work out some of the kinks in that area?
Well, I think we're still figuring a few things out. Really, there's been a couple of things. The sidewalks haven't been done around both of the buildings, and they're wrapping that up. But parking, you know, there's been, you get all the new students coming in. Some of these students have not been here before, obviously, so they have to figure things out. And so we've had to do some enforcement. We've primarily been trying to warn them, say, you know, you can't park here, 2-hour parking here, whatever, and get them to kind of adapt to the change, you know, the new school year. And with those people living downtown now, of course, they want to park their cars close to where they live. And so we're having a little bit of an issue we're dealing with on that, but I think we'll be able to work things out and it'll all settle in. It's just, we knew that was going to happen. I mean, anybody would know that if you move over 300 people right downtown, that you're going to have some residual effect of that parking. And so we're going to have a meeting here with some of the stakeholders downtown real soon, and we're going to try to figure out more of a long-range plan. We want to do some small low-hanging fruit kind of things, but then we want to figure out where we're going in the long run as more development occurs downtown.
And more construction. I hear CSX has been in and replacing some railroad tracks.
Yeah, that's been a real interesting process. You know, we always report the bad crossings. And what the way it works is, when they get enough crossings that need to be fixed, then they schedule their crews to come through. Well, they, you know, of course, they own the tracks and they own the crossings. So it's their own private property. And what they do is they come to us and get, you know, a permit, basically, for our road to be closed, and we work out a plan. Well, last week they got started on it, and they didn't follow their plan. They kind of got aggressive because they had so many people in town to work on it, that they closed too many crossings. And then a train broke down one day last week, just happened to, so it closed the only two crossings in a 3-mile stretch of railroad track. And you got 40 trains a day. Of course, they cut that back a little bit, but probably 20 trains that particular day were coming through. Well, they all got bottlenecked up and the crossings. So it was very frustrating last week. And, you know, we're trying to work with them and trying to get them to understand that we have to deal with this. And so they need to work with us. And so this week, they're back out again and much more condensed area. Yeah, they're hitting it hard, but I think we made our point and things are much more smooth this week than they were last week.
I wanted to talk about Wabash River region proposal for the Indiana Regional Cities Initiative. Now, I just saw a PDF. It was 88 pages. I browsed through most of it. I don't know if that's new or not.
Yeah,
Okay. And so let's just start with the Regional Cities Initiative is a grant program that areas can apply for in certain parts of the state for economic development. Right. And I assume that this Wabash River region is a proposal for that.
Yeah, I think there were 7 total proposals that came in from across the state. It's the first year, will be the first year, we're kind of moving into that first year of funding. And the state intends to use the tax amnesty money they're going to collect to fund. We're still not sure the exact figure, but they want to pick at least one or maybe two of these cities, of these 7, to get some initial funding to deliver on projects that would improve the quality of life. And so here in our region, we were still trying to figure out some things about what all ought to be on the list and who all the players were going to be, but we were able to put a proposal together for this first round. I think most of us that have put a proposal in, we just wanted to make sure the state knew we were interested. We still have some work to do with it, but we'll be meeting the deadlines and hopefully we'll put ourselves in a position to be funded. So there'll be more projects added later on. These are just some things we put on the table that would love to see some funding that would help be transformational for the community.
And it's for areas Sullivan, Knox, and Vigo County. Mm-hmm. So this is a group effort per se.
Right.
So what kind of planning has been going on with the other counties to be able to pull something together?
It's been kind of minimal at this point because you have to do some more formal things. And you have to start obviously with the discussions about are you guys in, are you not? And really we tried to look at the Wabash River corridor here, that our goal is to improve access and people using the river. And so things that we kind of targeted along there, and other communities had the same ideas, we partnered together because you have to meet certain criteria. You have to have a certain population base, and you have to create a regional development authority. And so there's some formal things that still have to be done, but we all agreed that this would be a good section of the state that would make perfect sense to be a regional city approach from Vincennes to Terre Haute, basically, of what can we do to improve West Central Indiana. And so it's an exciting process. It's going to be a long-term process, but this is just the beginning of it. It's the first phase.
And in general, just for those who are listening and wondering what happens from this, the money would do what?
Well, you put projects on a list, and then so when they're evaluated, they'll determine over there in Indianapolis which projects might have the most opportunity to be transformational, which things will really improve quality of life, whether it's a destination for people to come and see this new thing, or you're improving something that's already there that maybe has fallen in disrepair. But the idea is to create these different things in these regional cities that will help them grow, increase population, increase employment. And so they're things that really improve that quality of life. Back to that, that's the theme. That seems to be the difference between cities that are successful and those that aren't, to attract businesses. You have to have something extra above and beyond to draw them in.
And this is more than just ISU, Ivy Tech. I mean, those are areas that do bring in tourism and bring in people, but you have a river, which is something that most cities don't have.
Right, and it's always good to have a river, but then what do you do with it? And so we really want a lot more public and private development in our stretch here. I'm sure the other counties do too, but we've got a jewel, and there's some really positive things that have happened so far, but it takes some private money to come in, and we envision housing and retail and a variety of other things along the Wabash here in the central city area in the coming years.
If I could, I wanted to get a quick budget outlook. I did read where $2 million might be transferred to the general fund from the rainy day fund.
Uh-huh.
Is that still on the table?
Yeah, the council, that was part of our longer term plan, which means the end of the year, we were gonna do that to take some pressure off the general fund. And so one of our councilmen went ahead and put that forward. And then we kind of got in a little bit of debate in the second meeting last month about whether we should put it there or put it somewhere else. And so it's back on the agenda for this month. There was discussion last week, and the next week we'll be voting on it. The council will be voting on it. And we're hopeful that they'll just move it over there. We've done this in the past. It's a no-brainer, really. It'll take some pressure off of the general fund because it allows us to use those funds and permanently expend them on general fund expenditures. And that's what we need. It makes perfect sense. So when I came into office, we didn't have any money in the general fund. We've built it up. Yes, we've had to spend some of it over the last 8 years, but we've done it in things that we really needed it for, and this is the same case.
And we're talking about $2 million. How much is in the rainy day fund?
There's about 2.4 total. So there'll still be a few hundred thousand dollars in there. And we hope in the coming years to be able to put some more money back in there.
I also wanted to get an update. We talked about this last month too. Progress a little bit has been made on that lawsuit over the company that says that the city breached a contract over the sludged diesel fuel business deal. Of course, the city is very confident that this lawsuit is not viable, and you gave a final statement to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just give us an update on that?
Yeah, it kind of was a back and forth as they filed the initial suit, and then we responded to that, and then there's a 10-day rebuttal, and then we have a 10-day rebuttal. So we've worked through all that now, and it's in the judge's hands. So really the primary decision to be made is whether it's a valid contract or not, and we stand firm that it needed to go to the city council. We all knew that. We didn't know it in the beginning, but we learned that about halfway through the process, and so we were working towards that. Their contention is they didn't know that or whatever, or claim that we should have whatever. I mean, everybody has their own opinion. That's why there's a lawsuit. So we still feel firm that, stand on firm ground that that it's going to be thrown out. It's just unfortunate that we have to work through this, because then the Paradigm project is on hold, because these guys that are suing us, the only role they have in all this is to deliver the dried sludge to Powerdyne. Well, Powerdyne can't move forward until this is resolved to where they're going to get the raw material from. So it's just the whole thing has been very unfortunate that that's the route they chose instead of continuing to work with us to try to figure it out.
I also see where Lieutenant Governor Sue Elsperman was in town a few days ago recognizing Terre Haute, one of the best in the state under the Blight Elimination Program.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that in a while, but time has passed and it looks like it's working out.
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of success with the neighborhood stabilization money a few years ago where we actually got two additional grants because we did so well with that. Then the Blight Elimination money came in and we've working on additional requests for that money because our staff has just done a tremendous job. And a lot of them in the Department of Redevelopment have been doing this for years. They know it. They know how it should work. They were just really anxious and excited to see that we were getting some additional money to tear some of these really bad houses down. And they've done everything they can to keep moving through this process. There's a lot of red tape. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, the public gets, you know, concerned because they'll see us condemn a house and it may take 2 years to tear it down. Well, the burden of this process is red tape city. And so we've had to really work through that and they've done a tremendous job. And now we're starting to get to the point where we're really tearing a lot of them down in addition to what we normally do. So we'll do twice as many this year and next year that we could possibly do in a regular year. And just the Lieutenant Governor wanted to come in and just say, you guys are the model on how to pull this off. And it's just a testament to those the staff up there that does this on a daily basis, and they're going to get us some more money. We're going to tear some more houses down.
And it's college football season. I see ISU and Rose Hallman won their home openers, but I take it the excitement is here that football is back.
Yeah, you know, I personally love football. I officiated football for 30 years, and so I just when the fall comes, it's football time. And Indiana State got off, you know, to a good win over Butler this past weekend. They play Purdue this coming weekend. So it's just an exciting time of the year to get things going. There's a lot of excitement about ISU football. Rose Hallman, you know, they have a great program too. They're really sports isn't always their thing, but they put winning teams on the field no matter what. So they've got a great thing going on out there too. It's just exciting to see our local teams having a lot of success.